Welcome to Marooned at Magbite's headquarters. A day 72. My, that's a lot of days. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. How are we all doing? It's far too hot here. Just saying. Interestingly, Mike, that player says day 19 and that's lying because I've just fixed it and it says 72 where I am. Oh. Is it saying 72 for you? What's it saying for you? Let me know what it's saying for everybody else. It should be saying 72 because it knows it's live. It's got the new blue flash. It's
saying 72.
And now it is for me. Awesome. So I'm just behind as ever. How is everybody? What's the weather like? Let me know. We've got sunshine here and everything. It's horrible. We haven't had any snow here this year yet. And I was living in hope. But as we head into June, I think I'm going to have to decide we're not going to get any. Mind you, we've had snow in May before and we're not out of May yet. Lovely overcast. Sounds fabulous, Kim. Can you just ship that to me? Jonathan, at least tell me that you're hotter than I am. Because you're so high up, you're nearer the sun. Just make me feel better by the fact you feel bad. Busy but good. Ooh, good. Not so good about the busy bit, but good about the good bit. We are still on our laughable holiday. I started doing something, you know, as you do. Oh, this will take 2 seconds, I thought, and like half an hour later. But what I decided to do was sort all my music out, which is growing exponentially, obviously, with the shows. But of course, oh, hang on. Jonathan needs to finish a few things off and file them, fix dinner. You're starving. Poor Jonathan. Mike sorted dinner out here. It was fabulous. We had some pasta, but not the Dino stuff yet. Saving the Dino stuff. Kiva tried to get a bison burger. Oh, Kiva. Now, Kim, actually, there was an interesting thing I saw today. It's all talking about getting out of lockdown, which obviously for us, yeah, no, not happening anytime soon. But it came from BBC Scotland and it's saying how you need to ease your dog out of lockdown and they could be getting stressed. I mean, it's worth it just for the pictures, to be honest. Lola's taken to sitting in the office with us, which is new. That is new. Let me put the link in for this. That's the doggy link. There's somebody saying that their puppy only knows lockdown. Obviously, when they have to go back to work, there could be a separation anxiety thing.
I saw that.
It's worth a read. I think it's worth a read. You were concerned about the eyesight thing, weren't you?
Yeah, I've got poor eyesight.
Well, so have I, and it fluctuates.
I'm putting it down to what I'm eating.
Well, Dominic Cummings, this is the imbecile, the one that is an advisor to Boris. Do you know the most scary thing about that, Mike? Did you see the pictures on the Can It Affect Your Eyesight page and
no.
All the others? I'll put the link in. This second link is the Can It Affect Your Eyesight thing. What's interesting about that guy, I've seen him before, obviously he's Boris's mate, he's been Boris's mate for ages, was when they said he'd gone up to, he'd broken lockdown when he shouldn't have done, because of his four-year-old child, I did a triple take and said, he's what? That this man has a four-year-old child, because I looked at him and I thought, come on, he's got to be at least 62, 63 years of age. Did you do the Googles, Mike?
No.
I did. 1971 he was born. He's 4 years younger than me. And I'm like, are you kidding? He's old enough to be my granddad. Now, obviously, I just look incredibly young. If you remember, Rachel thought I was her age and this was when she was 32. I'll take that. she was born in 1985. So, yes, I would definitely take that. This guy is younger than me. That's scary. Anyway, he said that he went, he broke lockdown for a second time just to see if his eyesight was all right, which set Mike off. My eyesight changes literally every day. So today I've shoved myself full of bilberry pills and vitamin C. I should probably have some vitamin D as well, seeing as I'm not seeing much in the way of daylight. But it concerned Mike. What was you've read the thing. What did it come up with? Is it a symptom or is it not a symptom, Mike?
I didn't read it. I just saw the headline.
His eyes were too bad, just saying. Oh, for crying out loud. That means I've got to read it. No, so they can't. They don't know. They don't know. So this guy must have been making it up as he was going along. But then that's about par for the course, isn't it? Right. Yeah, I'm going to read the print off that dog article, Kim. Lola's pretty laid back. She's okay. She's okay. I think in the heat, she'd rather go in the garden. She must have been used to having the patio doors open and running around the garden, which we could let her do if we blocked off the side garden and let her run around the back. But unfortunately, we've got a couple of fence panels that have seen better days, and we've had it on our to-do list, and it was going to be in our holiday at Easter. Obviously, we can't get hold of replacement fence panels right now. So we're given her the run of the house. She's all right, isn't she?
She is.
And her walks are a little bit warmer, which I don't think she likes that much. I think she may enjoy a paddling pool, unlike Maya. We'll have to see how that goes. We'll put some water in a paddling pool and we'll find out. Are they doing, is that telemedicine in the UK? How's that work? We do have somewhere you dial in, like you Skype your doctor. Is that the kind of thing you're talking? I'm not fancying that, not anytime soon.
We've got that at work. It's called Doctor at Hand.
Crying out loud. I'd have thought, well, what kind of things do they... I mean, they can't give you a hands-on, can they?
No, it's some remote doctor service.
But it's not a mental health check?
No.
Wow. Apparently we are, Kim. Obviously, the last time I went into my GP surgery, they had leeches in a cabinet. So I've not been in a while. I couldn't tell you what the tech's like. But I have heard that, yes, there are. It's either a scheme or they've brought it in at certain practices where, yes, they do dial in, especially during this pandemic. I've never done it. I can't see my doctor doing it, I'll be honest. But I don't know because I've not rung and asked. To me, if I need a doctor, why would they need to see me? Either they need to take my word for it in terms of what's wrong with me. Because what tests could they do remotely? Or is that just me? I know you can do your ECG thing, because I did that for the first time. Quite trepidation city as I tried sorting that out, but it came back and said I was okay, which was quite surprising because I thought if I took my blood pressure right now it'd be through the roof, because it's medical and I don't like medical. I'm just wondering, I mean, they can't hear your chest or anything. I'm really not sure how well that would work, but that could just be me. Maybe when I've gone there always has to be a kind of hands-on thing. I do remember going when I was about 20. And I'd got a chest infection and she wanted to hear my chest, and there was this student there with her, and I particularly always asked for a female doctor. My first doctor was the most lovely man on the planet. He was amazing and I wasn't scared in the slightest. And then I went into hospital and that was the end of that. So after that, I was not having a male GP. So we booked into this practice and we signed up. And it was a lady, but you never got the lady. So we moved. So we went somewhere else. So she said, I'm going to have to. Oh, do you mind if the medical student's here? And I'm looking at him and he's just sat at the back on a chair. And I said, no, it's fine. But I was giving him the eye. So I just said to her, you know, chest infection, da, 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 this is what I want. And she said, can I just hear your chest? And I'm like, pardon. So she approached with the stethoscope and I had a jumper on, and this jumper was on up to my neck. I pulled it down about 3 inches and that was all she got. If she couldn't do it in that 3 inches, it wasn't happening unless he left the room. She understands me though, and we get on all right. Simon, TMI. Actually, can I just mention they do cameras for that? Just saying. They actually have cameras. I think you can even get them on Amazon. And they're for ear examinations and throat examinations. And I'm presuming they do one with a nice bright torch for the other end. But you can actually buy those things. No. How? I mean, people are going on about Zoom being hacked. Yeah. And we're talking about whatever we're talking about, in Mike's case, Catanian stuff endlessly. Does it matter? But if it's your doctor, and no one's saying, oh, no, I'm not using any system to ring my doctor because it might be hacked. Really? I would not be comfortable with that, but that could just be me. Somebody said on here they were going for, was it Tracy? Who said they were going to the doctor? And it was some kind of thing. And I said, be careful with that. Just be careful with that. Because the way things like Zoom work, one way of recording a meeting is that it actually has a flashing record button at the top and you know it's been recorded. But there is a stealth mode recording. And what will happen is it doesn't actually record during the meeting per se with a record button. But when you finish the meeting, it will save the entire, it will save a recording of the meeting, even though it didn't say it was recording it, basically. So that's something to be aware of. Yes, that would also freak me out. Of course, the other thing is, it's quite possible when you're in a meeting for somebody in that meeting to record the entire meeting and you not be aware at all of it. Because there's no indication if they use a screen recorder. If you can see it on the screen, you can record it, including the audio. Yeah. I don't foresee I would ever have a need for my GP again. If I'm ill, I'm ill enough for A&E. Other than that, I'm not ill. Simple as that. But fingers crossed. Anyway, most exciting thing that happened yesterday. None of you have mentioned it. Really? We had the delivery. Yay! It was the shopping delivery. Oh, what a fiasco that turned into. It was a good job I'd said goodnight. I gets down there. It was a man in a car because it was a Morrison's order. The Morrison's orders have fractionally changed. Simon, in my defence, it wasn't me banging on about the naked truth yesterday. Quite right. It's Naked Attraction, Simon. Is there another one that's naked? Do they just not bother with clothes anymore? Is it cheaper? Still haven't got that recording. Let me have a look. When did I set that up for? It was something like 4 o'clock in the morning and I knew it was... I wasn't recording anything else, let's put it like that. Let's have a look. You don't know, you don't watch it. Jonathan saw one, but it was inadvertent. And I saw one and it was inadvertent. Maybe that's where their audience comes from. It's inadvertent. No, it's not there yet. So let me check when I've scheduled that recording for. Oh, it's soon. It's soon. Let me check. How bizarre. Just a minute. It said I set it for last night at 3:05. And it didn't record. Oh, right. I'm going to set another one. Oh, crying out loud. Maybe there's some kind of smut filter on it and they won't let it do it. Right, let's try again. Oh, honestly. Right, there's enough episodes there. Right, 28th, when's that? 2 days away, 3:05. Let's try that one. And then another one on the 28th. Oh, good grief. Oh, no, that's plus one. And then the 29th. I was looking for one that was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And there was one. Right, there you go. I've got it set up. Let's have a look what this one is. Yeah, I'm sure that was the one I decided to set up. Right, it's all set up. There you go. And it's going to be in a couple of days. So no damage done there. Do you have parental controls on that? I'm not aware that I do, no. Let's have a look. Let's go into the settings and see if there's anything in there. Parents, it says at the end. It should all be off. No, it's off. No, the whole thing's off. No, that's rather bizarre. Maybe it wasn't on. If it didn't record, maybe it was because that programme didn't come on. Maybe there's something far more important. Just saying. I'm checking everything else. No, everything else is fine. How bizarre. Oh, well, Paul'll just have to wait a little bit. Must be so upset. I'm devastated, Jonathan. Absolutely devastated. No, never mind all that. No, I went downstairs to collect the order. So he meanders up in his car. I opens the door and shouts out, just put it in the porch. He said, yes, Mike was in a meeting. So he gets it all out. It wasn't that there was actually that much of it, but the bags, they're in brown paper bags, and they were pretty heavy, some of them. So he'd separated them all and put each one on the floor. He didn't stack them on top of one another. He laid them all out on the floor. Lola, of course, was most interested. She needed to check everything in and make sure whether it was edible or not. But what I did was I brought the water in first and built a barricade, behind which was the Lola. So then I started bringing the bags in. And I'm wearing the gardening gloves, of course. And these bags were actually really quite heavy. But as I'm bringing them in, I can hear a bit of a cacophony on the corner. And they were not socially distancing. Some bad boys were not socially distancing. So, of course, I'm thinking I've got to get all this in before somebody nicks off with half of it. So I'm dragging it in as fast as I can. Gets it in. I picked up one bag and thought, that's definitely the bag for upstairs. And what I'd done was, I mentioned to you that we'd run out of A4 paper. The company I usually buy it from is called Viking Direct. They've been doing deliveries of stationery for years. I think I signed up in the mid-90s. And I bought a lot of paper for £1 a ream. It was absolute bargain back then. The same paper now, so I paid £5 for 5 reams. The same paper now for 5 reams, you can pay anything up to like £50. It's ridiculous. So I did get actually place an order. And then there was a calamity with that as well. So I ended up placing another order. And I think I went through Amazon. When that one arrived, it was all in bits and pieces. So I checked on Morrisons and just randomly put A4 paper, and they do sell it, and it's actually cheaper. So that was what was in this bag. So I dragged that one upstairs, but left the rest downstairs. So obviously then when Mike came out, we should just broadcast this. It would be so entertaining. But when Mike came out, we had the old, did you order this, going on up and down the stairs. Because I needed to check 2 items they said were out of stock, and I said that was fine. Don't replace it, I said. So those 2 items that were out of stock, I needed to make sure that they'd not sent anything else. But as I'm dragging these bags in, one of them opened and there's an item sat on the top. And I thought, oh, for crying out loud, that was the replacement. And the reason I didn't want it replaced, what I'd ordered was £1. And the replacement was £3.99. I'm not paying 4 times the price. So I said straight away, no, don't replace it. Another one was slightly more subtle. The item itself was £5, but it was for 500 mil. The replacement was £4.50, so it looks cheaper. But there was only 200 mil. So yeah, you really have to be alert there. So I needed Mike to check it all. So what's going on here? Kim says, our governor of the state has strict COVID guidelines. You couldn't go to the lake for Memorial Day and you can't buy, but you can buy groceries and not paint. And her husband got caught. Oh, fabulous. Chief advisors testing their eyesight by seeing if they can drive 30 miles. Yes, I mentioned that, Jonathan. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's not the first one. The one in Scotland got sacked for it, if you remember. There was another in New Zealand. And then when they got rid of the first one in New Zealand, the one that took over did exactly the same. They honestly, they think they won't get caught. But the thing is, I could agree with that, Jonathan, if it was 20 years ago. But who hasn't got a phone with them now? And what actually happened with that one that Jonathan's just mentioned, Kim, this is the chief advisor, the one that looks 20 years older than I am, even though he's 4 years younger. What he did was he went out to this beauty spot with his wife and child, and somebody spotted him and recognised him. Now, to be honest, I don't think I would have recognised him. But this person that they spoke to and said, you know, happy Easter, because it was Easter Sunday, he must have half recognised him, and he's looked at the car, and the car has a vanity plate on it. I don't know what the number is because they've not said, but it would be recognisable as this guy's name. So the guy did exactly what the rest of us would do, whipped his phone out, took a picky, and he has now reported them to the police. So if you think that you're going to get away with it, okay, he's not as recognisable as Boris, but in his hometown he surely would be, and that's where he'd gone. So, yes, somebody got a picture and somebody reported him to the police. They all want shooting, the lot of them, telling you. So I shouts down to Mike with our shopping. Have they added this? Have they added that? So Mike shouts up. I said, is there a bottle of cream in there? And it's skin cream that we use called E45. He shouts back, yes, I shouts back, for crying out loud, I told them not to put that in. So they'd replace this 500ml with the 400ml, with the 200ml. And there was two other items, I think, as well. And both of them I'd said no to. And they put them in anyway. So then I've got to go back to the bill and I've got to make sure that we're not being charged for it. Then we found something else in there that shouldn't have been in there. In the end, and there was one item that I was minded to send back, but I decided in the end we'd probably done better out of the deal and just leave it be.
Yeah, but we did get four rubber gloves.
Exactly. That was the other thing. You can only order three of everything. And we cannot buy at the moment the disposable gloves, the quite thin ones. But at Morrison's, they do have gloves. They are kitchen rubber gloves. There's two pairs in a packet and they're 44 pence. So that to me is virtually throwawayable. So what I said was, we'll get them and we'll wash them. But, you know, if they only wash two or three times, that's fine. So I popped some in last time and they arrived. This time I went and I checked and fingers crossed as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, please let me have three because that will be six pairs of gloves for us. But the way things are going with gloves, you know, six pairs of gloves doesn't last that long. Anyway, yes, I could have three. So I put three of them in. Mike shouts up the stairs, did you order four packets of gloves? I said, well, no, because I can't order more than three. They'd put four in. So in the end, I decided we definitely had a good deal out of it. So we'll walk away and leave it. But they did manage to put in the most important things. Was it? It was three items, wasn't it? For the Magic Mike's Magic Mac Bites flapjack. Mm. There was a golden syrup. Yes, we've got it in. There was porridge. Yes, we've got that. And there was the brown sugar. Now, we couldn't. It didn't actually say brown sugar. Nowhere had brown sugar. It's obviously everybody's baking and there's no brown sugar. But I put in Demerara sugar, which is another name for it, and up came this particular sugar. It didn't say brown, it didn't say Demerara, but it was brown and it said it was light and you could bake with it, so I ordered it. So we have all the ingredients for a Magic Mike's Magic Mac Bites flapjack baking session, so you've been warmed. So Kim says she's been washing her rubber gloves for 3 months now. They're pretty thick. Brilliant. I don't think these are going to be as thick as a normal pair, just given the price, because the normal price for a single pair here is probably about £5. So I wasn't expecting much, hence buying more than one of them. I also wanted some upstairs for cleaning, because the more you wash your hands in the bathroom, the more soap you get sprayed around all over. So I wanted to clean up in there as well. So I think I've got at the moment everything that we need for the cleaning and the cooking. And Kim couldn't get brown sugar either. It must be a thing. We could stream it on After Hours like the Great British Bake Off. I'm loving that idea, Jonathan. We did pictures last time, but we didn't do video. But I may be persuaded to head off down there when we're doing the baking. How long does it take in the oven, Mike? It's a microwave, isn't it?
Mm.
How long does it take? It's not that long. Oh, I wonder if I could put a camera in the microwave. No, walk away, girl. Don't try it. We'll have a camera on the outside of the microwave, not the in. It would be all right if you could get the turntable to turn with the door open, wouldn't it? No, it's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Leave it. Leave it. Leave it. I will attempt to get some film of Mike baking.
About 10 minutes.
Only about 10 minutes. That's not bad then, is it? I'm liking this idea.
2 minutes and then 5 minutes. So about 7 minutes.
And then, of course, you've got to let it cool down. You couldn't possibly eat it as soon as it comes out, most unfortunately. So then it has to go on a bigger plate. Have you got the plates that you bake it in, the trays? They were white, very heavy white, weren't they?
We did it in those.
Oh, you did it in the plastic ones. Mm. I thought we did it in the big white ones.
We mixed them in dog bowls.
Yes, we mixed them in the dog bowls. We do actually have a bowl to mix it in now, Mike, the big white glass, the glass one, yeah. The big one. So we no longer have to mix it in dog bowls. Yes, our kitchen's, it's tiny, isn't it? And it's probably seriously underused, but salads don't take much baking, so that'll be why. Anyway, I did manage to get everything, but I could only get, is the porridge made of oats? Yes, it is. So it's a gluten-free one. So yes, porridge oats. So they actually do thicker oats, don't they? There were two kinds. There was one that didn't look very, what's the word, grainy. It looked quite thin, whereas the other one seemed to have big husks in it, which I'm not at all sure about. But anyway, Mike assures me it's the right kind of stuff. So yeah, it's porridge oats. We just went for the cheaper one, but sometimes we've used, what's that brand? With the guy on the front with the hammer. Is it Scots?
Mm.
Sometimes we use that stuff. But we have got everything, including the sultanas. Do you put the sultanas in it, Mike, or on the top?
In it, I think.
I think we did two different types, didn't we? We might have to do two batches, one with, one without. And at some point, if we can get the post office dealt with, because our 24-hour delivery is now currently 72 hours. So basically it's they put a sticker on 24 hours, but underneath it in a biro, you'll get it when you see it.
Place the butter, sugar and syrup in a microwave safe bowl and cook on high power for 1 to 2 minutes or until the butter is melted. Stir in the oats and sultanas and mix thoroughly. Press mixture into a small greased baking dish. Cook on high power for about 5 minutes or until the centre is bubbling. Allow to cool and cut into squares.
You have to be careful you don't overdo it, because if you overdo it, it goes very difficult to eat, doesn't it? You want it kind of soft and chewy, rather than you might need a dentist if you try and bite it. Although, Kim, you can probably take care of yourself. No, you have to be quite careful. So it is better in a microwave than with a turntable. And it's better undercooked than overcooked, to be honest. You can always cook it a little bit more, but if you overdo it, it really dries out. And then it's just a matter of letting it cool, which is actually part of the most difficult bit. Oh, of course we want to see rolls, Simon. Absolutely. We all get off watching you in your baking. Absolutely we do. You pop them in there. So that was last night's delivery. It all worked out all right in the end. But it is actually a pain, because there's no way. I mean, this is just basic to me. There's no way to print off your order. You can obviously print the web page, but when it prints, it has the navigation that's at the top of it. It appears on every page and it covers up some of the items you've bought. So I took a series of screenshots on my phone and then tried merging them, and that didn't work either. So it was a nightmare to actually check every item off. Oh, we have incoming from Simon. Let me get hold of that. I have got to the first one. I am going in. Oh, they look gorgeous. They do look absolutely gorgeous. Look at those, Mike.
Fancy some of those.
I do. I do. They're like smaller than baguettes, aren't they? But they look gorgeous. They won't win any prizes for being identical. I don't think that matters. It's what they taste like. They do look gorgeous. Absolutely. Do you share these around, or are these for you and Mrs. Simon? So gorgeous. They actually look, I mean, you see these gourmet ones, yours look much better. They look fantastic. Wow. And you go in Greg's and think, yeah, no, they're terrible, but yours look amazing. Fabulous, fabulous. Loving them. I think we need to challenge Simon. I think we need a Magpies loaf. Don't you think?
Mm, good idea.
There's a challenge for you, a Magpies loaf. Nice try, Jonathan. Too late, teenage girls. But do teenage girls eat anymore? They don't seem to, the ones I know. Yeah, we need him to move, don't we, Jonathan? You'll get him a ticket. That does look amazing. I think we need a Manchester meetup at some point. We were going to do that, weren't we, at Dunham?
Dunham, yeah.
Yeah, but Dunham's shut, so we're not doing that right now. Dunham's been closed for weeks and weeks, and it's not even on the agenda to open it. No, Simon, they look amazing. You are the Magpies baker. Mike is merely aiming to emulate you, Simon. What I did today, where I started and then didn't stop, organising music. What does everybody else do? I'm old enough to remember. My mum and dad had a reel-to-reel tape recorder. I'll admit I was about three. But they did. They had reel-to-reel tape and they had some music on it. But my dad was very into his radio, as Deb knows, and CQ. He loved just standard long-wave radios. So he'd have a radio that had long-wave, short-wave, medium-wave and FM on it. And he'd just play around with it. He never left it to the side, like listen to the Archers. No, he just had to be fiddling with it the whole time. Used to drive Mum insane. But the first record player I remember that they actually had, I must have been about five or six, and it did have great sound on it. And then I got my first ever album of my own to play on it, which has stood the test of time well. It was ABBA's Greatest Hits from 1975. And that was the only thing that I played on it. And then I got one, which was a Tammy Wynette album. I've no idea why I ended up with that, but I did. I've probably still got them kicking around somewhere. But I got my own when I passed my 11 plus. For those who are completely unaware, an 11 plus was an exam and it used to be taken countrywide. And it determined whether you went to a grammar school or a high school. And we in Trafford, there was only Trafford and one other authority that had grammar schools left. So I had to sit my 11 plus. So I passed and I got in. But because we moved house at the end of my first year in high school, so when I was 12, I had to sit it again. Oh, I was not pleased. You know, I've already done this once, but that was in a different authority. So I had to sit it again. So Mum, typical, true to form, to incentivise me over the summer where I was doing practice papers and stuff, said, we'll buy you your own record player if you pass. I was incentivised. I passed. Actually, I was in and out in about 20 minutes. This exam was 2.5 hours, but I'd done that many practice papers. It was just, yep, right, fine. And off I went. So that one, I think it was a Fidelity. What has everybody else got? What did you start with? I much preferred my tape recorder because I could carry it with me. And Mum insisted we went to Tandy, which is the UK version of Radio Shack, which is sadly RIP, and get some rechargeable batteries. These rechargeable batteries cost the earth and they took like 3 days to recharge. But she got me two sets so I could be playing it and then recharging the other one. And I loved my tape recorder. Oh, did I? I went. Each one lasted about 2 years. Miss Tandy and Maplin's. I could spend hours in there, Simon. I could. And I would get things like, I'd buy ends for making my own cables up. That way I could have the cable the length I wanted. And I had my own soldering iron. This is, you know, like a girl age 12. I've got my own soldering iron. My dad loved the ability to make cables, but he just couldn't do it. He had hands and fingers like sausages. There's no way you could have let him loose with a soldering iron. So that's how come I was pretty hot, if you pardon the pun, with a soldering iron, age 12, because I was doing all his cables. So I'd go in and if I wanted like, you know, two female ends, two male ends, I'd buy like four. And then I built up my own little treasure trove under the bed. And if I ever needed to make a cable, I'd probably have in what I needed. And that way, what my mum was doing was recording by just putting a microphone in front of it. But once I understood the cables, I was making cables and hooking things together. But I adored my tape recorder. It wasn't like a Walkman. It was literally a small tape recorder you would carry around with you. I think each one lasted about 2 years. But if we went out in the car, it came with me. And I think Dad had a radio, but I don't think he had a cassette player. And that was probably back in the day where you put a cassette in and it lasted 2 minutes before it chewed up. So Mum always insisted, wise woman, that I bought an album and then I made my own tape. But at least she got me the blank tapes. So I'd do all of that first and then I'd have a carry case with my cassettes in. It's like an alpha of your phone, isn't it? I'd have my cassette box that could carry 32. But I also had one that carried like 10 or 12. And so that was in one hand and my tape recorder was in the other. And wherever we went, particularly holidays, obviously, it would come with me. And I would get to play my music in the back while Dad had to suffer. But, you know, the batteries, you got through the batteries quite fast because with it being in a car, you had the volume quite high. But I loved it. Oh, I love my music. Sounds like your whole life was preparing you for what you do now. Really, it was. Yeah, it was. But Dad would drive me crazy with his cables. Instead of, you see, I was always taught by them, the pair of them, that if there was two alternatives when you were looking for something as a child, you had to make your mind up which one you wanted. You certainly couldn't have both. Some things were incredibly expensive. So the one that comes to mind is my computer. I had a Sinclair Spectrum and a Commodore 64, and I wanted a Commodore Amiga. But at the same time, there was something called an Atari ST. And they were pitched against each other. You would have one or the other. But for what I wanted, the Amiga was better. But the ST was £100 cheaper, so I could have had that faster. Because obviously, to save up £100 when you were probably earning sort of £10 or £20 a week at a part-time job was going it some. But I was always taught you had to make your mind up, and that was it. Did my father do that? Oh, no. He would want a radio, and then there would be the cheaper model. And of course, as he's saving up, he could have the cheaper model faster. So he bought the cheaper model. Then, obviously, he needed cables for that, and he needed wiring up to all his other equipment, which was where I came in. But he'd never just leave you to do the job. No, he would be breathing down your neck. He would be literally in an inappropriate distance from my face, trying to watch me so then he could go and do it. But he just wasn't dexterous enough to be able to do it. And I'd be like, back off, Dad, back off. Let me do it. You're in my light. Just leave me to do it. But the thing was, once you'd done all of that, then it's like, I'll go do my homework and do what I want to do. And honestly, within 2 weeks, he'd have decided that this radio wasn't good enough and he wanted the more expensive one. And what he'd do is he'd sell the one that he had to somebody else. But obviously, he took quite a hit on that. Mum would be going mad because she'd be saying, it's a waste of money. You're losing about £100 on every radio. Why don't you just wait and get the one you want? And I'd be saying, yes, like you told me I had to do when I was a child. So he got it both ends, did my dad. But I moved on from that then to what we used to call a ghetto blaster. And Dad did actually buy me that for Christmas when I was 16. Oh, I had that one for years and years. In the end, like the knobs fell off. It was a huge thing, massive speakers on it. And it had two tape decks. And I used to put that in my car. So obviously I was 16 when I got it. And I got my car when I was almost 18, but I was actually 17 when I got it. And I put it in the back and I went to Tandy Simon for a cable because they had a cable that went from your car cigarette lighter to the back of this thing. And it meant you didn't need the batteries. It just used your standard car stuff. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. And when I parked up, obviously I had to drag this thing out from behind the passenger seat and put it in the boot in case anybody broke in. And my abiding memory with this thing was I went to a U2 concert about 5-6 weeks after I passed my test. If you remember, that was when Dad said, you're not going on your own, I'll drive you. And Mum was like, oh, no, you don't. No, she's an adult now. No, no, no. She'll be 18 by then. You're not doing that. I'll go with her. I'm like, what? I was thinking, oh, she's fighting my corner. I'll be able to go. It'll be fantastic. And then she said, I'll go with her. And I thought, you're kidding me. To a U2 concert? Anyway, she didn't actually go in the concert. It's all right. She stayed at the hotel. So I headed off to this concert with my ghetto blaster screaming in the back. And it was at Milton Keynes with the concrete cows. The weather was abysmal. It was mud up to your knees. I ended up, my shoes were a write-off. I got these silly shoes to go in and they were a complete write-off. I did drag them back to the car, but they were a write-off. And I remember getting this ghetto blaster out, putting it behind the seat and getting the music up and running. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking, why is people pushing cars? And they were all stuck in the mud. And you'd got like five hulking guys pushing a little car out. And I'm thinking, I am so screwed here. Because there was only me. I was on my own. I mean, really, Mum must have been praying like crazy back at the hotel. Because you hear a girl's going to these concerts and they never come back. And there I am on my own, pitch black. across these fields trying to find my car. I had no idea where the car was. I just parked. There was a reason I was late. If you remember, when we booked in the hotel at this concert, Mum came back with this big cheesy grin on her face after I was stuck in a five-hour traffic jam. And I said, what? And I thought they'd let the room go. And she said, no, no. The lady just said she was concerned whether, you know, that we were tired and we might want to sleep because the bands are staying here. And I'm like, whoa, second wind. So I spent the entire night in the bar with Michael Stipe and REM, Billy Bragg, you name it. I partied the night away. It's about 5 o'clock when we got to bed. So the following day when the concert was on, I didn't go early. I missed the early bands. I was there at the hotel with Mum. So I'd headed off and I needed to head back. And I got in my car and I'm thinking, I'm never going to be able to move this ever. Not if everybody else was having problems. And I started the engine and just thought, please, God, let this car move. And I just drove off and it was fine. And these guys are looking at me like, how did she do that? Because the car won't move. It was literally only when I got back home and I told Dad the tale. And he went, that's because your car's got front wheel drive. I said, has it? I had no idea. I had no idea. It had four wheels and a radio, and that was all that bothered me. No, he said he's got front wheel drive, so you would be able to do that. And I thought that's just as well, because these guys were getting planks of wood and trying to put them under the wheels to try and move their cars. And I literally just drove off. There were tractors arriving to move other people. And I was there on my own, age literally just 18. So I was very lucky. But the reason that I remember it is having this radio, this ghetto blaster in the back of the car, blasting out a concert that you two had played about 4 or 5 months earlier. And as I'm there in the traffic with this thing blasting out of the windows, people thought it was a recording of the actual concert because the set list was the same. And they're singing along outside as I'm trying to find my way back to the M1. I mean, you can't read a map and Milton Keynes is a nightmare. So again, I was just incredibly lucky. I ended up on the M1 going in the opposite direction to come off at the next junction to double back on myself on the other side because the hotel was on the motorway. And the reason the bands had picked it, because it's not a hotel you would imagine that the bands would go for, is that there was a field next door and they all arrived in helicopters. So obviously I was leaning out of my window. Oh, I wish I'd had a camera back then that I could have taken some great shots. That would have been a night to remember. Not that I'm ever going to forget it. But what was your first music device? What do you use now? I was sorting out my Spotify. I don't have Apple Music. I have odd items I purchased before the Apple Music thing came in. Hello, Anthony. But I never really went for the Apple Music thing. I think I got confused when they started bringing out that business where you upload your own music and then they match. And I'm like, is that separate from the Apple thing? And in the meantime, it was like Spotify just works. Spotify also worked with the Amazon devices way before Apple Music. And I've just stuck with it. I was actually thinking today as I was looking at the playlists and trying to get some semblance of order to them. I was actually thinking, how do you export playlists? How do you transfer from one music system to another? So let me know in the chat what you use. Are you Spotify? Are you Apple Music? Let me know. I'm thinking Johnny's going to be Apple Music, being a millennial. But you never know. Maybe he's not. But let me know. I think Mike's disappeared into his other meeting. He's got yet another meeting. Amazon Prime. Oh, I didn't see that one coming, Jonathan. Is that the full version? I've got Amazon Prime and I've got access to a certain amount of Apple Music, of Amazon Music. But you can pay, can't you? The extra to Prime. I'm not actually sure what that's called. Probably Amazon Music. But the full subscription thing. Unlimited, that's the one, 60 million songs. No, I don't. I've got Prime, but that was as far as it went. I didn't go any further with that. I didn't feel the need. I must admit, every time I ask the device to say something, to play something, I find it. So I'm not quite sure what's missing. You know, it's 3 million songs versus 60 million. I am not sure what I'm missing. I've just logged into Amazon Music. And I am me, definitely. It says followed playlists and all kinds of stuff that I've never done. There's stations up here as well. Yeah, I've never actually gone into the music part of it. But it says, get a special offer. Listen to over 60 million songs anywhere. $7.99 a month after your trial. But again, like I'm saying, how on earth would you get out of this and take your playlist with you? I think if the playlists are albums, then you're fine. Just make a list of the albums that you want. But the essence of a playlist is they're not albums, are they? So Kim's got most of hers on iTunes. Is that from Apple or is it your own stuff? I had a lot of my own stuff that I'd ripped myself that I put into iTunes. Most of that, being honest, is available. There's literally the odd item that's not available. One of them we needed to play. It was one of the ones we... Where do we use that? It was a special show we did about football. And we wanted this particular version of The Fields of Athenry by Brush Shields. And they've got plenty of versions of The Fields of Athenry, just not the one we want, which is a really rocky one. And I'd got it in my iTunes, but my iTunes stuff's on a hard drive in a cradle over the other side near the window. And I'd actually have to hook a computer up to it to actually get to it. So I realised all the stuff that I had in there, you know, I don't really have access to it, which is a problem when I need it. You know, I need a song that I cannot find anywhere else, particularly for the radio stuff. That sounds like mine, Kim. I ripped everything that I had and put it in there. What I noticed was with Spotify, it will actually look through your Apple iTunes library and it will bring it in to Spotify. But if that library is no longer available, which mine's on the other drive, on the other machine, the music's still there. You can see it listed and it's your personal listing, but you can't play it. And I thought that was a pain. You know, I'd like to be able to import it, but it doesn't do that. It actually has to be there. Do you have to pay for Spotify? There are two versions of Spotify. There's the free version, which has adverts in it. So it's like listening to a radio station. I pay for it. I had it a long time before Mike. He said he didn't listen to that much music. So what we did, we cheated. This was so funny. I said, well, use mine and just put MT before the playlist names. So he did. So I'm sitting here one afternoon, probably about 4 o'clock. I've got Spotify playing and all of a sudden it stopped playing. And I thought, what's the matter with that? So I got it playing again. Stopped again. I'm thinking, is it, you know, he's having a moment. Is the internet okay? Got it playing again. Eventually, I thought, I know what's going on. You can only play one Spotify playlist per account on any device that's hooked up to it. So you can have it active on as many devices as you want. You can even hook your Echo devices together. But when it actually comes to playing it, Mike could not play it on his phone and me play it on mine at the same time. And I checked my watch and I thought, he's just come out of work. He's put it on in the car on the way home. So he comes back in when he gets here and he says, it's really weird when I got in the car. He said, it kept stopping. I said, I know it did. So did mine here. I said, it can only play on one device. He went, oops, sorry. I said, it's fine. Because what they did after that was they brought out a family version. So I was paying $9.99. But for $14.99, you can both have it. So actually you're saving £5. So now he's got his own. We have a family account. So yes, you do have to pay for it if you want it ad free. And can you play Spotify on the Echo? Yes. And it works brilliantly. One thing it didn't do, and they changed their mind, thankfully. The Echo devices, I don't know how many you've got, but if you've got two or more, you can create multi-room speakers, basically. You can hook them together. So what we've done here is we have a group, a speaker group, or a group of devices called Anywhere. Good night, Jonathan. Good to be with you. Love to the family and see you soon. I created a group called Everywhere, and that is every device in the house, every Echo device in the house. Then I created one for downstairs and I created one for upstairs. And I think we've even got like mini groups in rooms that have more than one Echo. So basically, if you're meandering around the house cleaning or something and you want the same music playing all over the house, you can do that. By instead of playing it to a particular device, you play it to a group, a device group, basically. So what Mike will do, we have another group upstairs as well, which is everything apart from the bedroom. So there's an echo in the studio, one in the office, two on the landing. What we've done is create a group for that without the two echo devices in the bedroom. So Mike can play his music upstairs while he's getting ready for work, but not disturbing me in the bedroom, because trust me, I'll be asleep at 6 o'clock. Don't do 6 o'clock. I'm hoping he's gone outside with the dog. She's barking. Either Mike's out there with her or she's let herself out. One or the other. So that works really well. Again, it will stop if you try playing it on a phone, etc. But you can control it from your desktop or your iOS device and pipe it through to as many Echo devices as you want. It is actually a really good system. But that was the thing it didn't do, because Amazon didn't want it to. Amazon wanted you to pay for Amazon Music. But in the end, they sorted it out between them. And yes, you can. I do believe, although I've not tried it, you can now play your Apple Music on it as well. But as has been ascertained, not done Apple Music for years and years. Another system that I've got, and I don't pay for this, but I do. And what I mean by that is I have an Amazon, what do they call it now? Not Pro. Is it Premiere? Premium? Amazon? YouTube? YouTube, what we call it, YouTube Premium. I was just saying either you were outside with the dog or she'd let herself out. Clearly it was you with her. Yes, there is a system called YouTube Premium. You all right there?
Okay.
Oh, putting on a posh shirt, are we? Flattening our hair, getting a tie.
I'm getting a tie.
Oh, like that, is it? Is it they more laid back? Good. Kim used to use LimeWire. I heard of that, but I never used it. What I did use years and years ago, what was that thing that was illegal at the beginning and then it went paid for? For music. Oh, I can see the icon. It was like a little alien with green and blue and looking downwards. Oh, somebody will remember. No, it was a streaming thing. You did a search for music and then you... It wasn't exactly BitTorrent. You played it from somebody else's thing. It was a peer-to-peer thing.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Napster, that's the one. Napster. Anthony, bang on Napster, that was the one. I did use that for a fraction. But YouTube Premium, I didn't buy it for the music. I can't be doing with adverts full stop, but also, you know, being a creator, I want to be able to support YouTube to support me. And basically, I do pay for it. I think it's $11.99 a month, Anthony? But you get ad-free YouTube stuff. How that works for the creators like me, if an ad runs on a video, you get the ad revenue from it. But if there isn't an ad played because somebody had... why is this telling me I need to redeem your free channel membership with Premium? Now I need to do something. You get part of their revenue. So somebody who pays, it used to be called YouTube Red. The Red revenue comes from people's subscriptions. So and you, in the back end, it gives you a breakdown as to how much have come from adverts and how much has come from, they still call it Red revenue in the back end. But with Premium, I love it. I'm on YouTube quite a lot. There's loads of documentaries on YouTube and stuff like that. And I'm loving that. But it's actually even better because you get access to YouTube Music, which to me seemed a bit weird. YouTube Music. I don't want to watch videos. It's not like Spotify. But actually, you can do some searches on there for stuff that you won't find on Spotify. So one of my favourite ever songs is The Story of the Blues by The Mighty Wah. That used to be on Spotify, and now it's not on Spotify. That's the problem with Spotify. What's there today might not be there tomorrow. So I had to go to YouTube Music for that and get that one from there. But that's included as part of your premium. So as Anthony says, he's got premium, found the ads intrusive. To me, it's actually worth it. About 2 years ago, I remember people saying they used YouTube as their TV. And I thought, I'm not getting that. I mean, I can see if you purchase something and there is like a purchase history. And mine's actually got four things in it. It actually says, purchases four. When I click on it, there were things that were given to me free. I did not buy Transformers Dark Side of the Moon. Trust me. There's another one called La Luna. I didn't buy that either. And whilst George Clooney is indeed in Gravity, I didn't buy it. The other thing that's there, included in purchases and refunds, is this YouTube premium account thing. But if they had everything that was on Spotify, then that would be a great deal, because in essence, you'd only be paying £2 a month for YouTube premium, which means you get ad-free on YouTube, which to me, I'm with Anthony, I could not be doing with the adverts. I also felt, you know, as I looked at some of the stuff people were putting out. So over the course of the last 2 years, I've seen the stuff that people are putting out, and I wanted to support them directly with a subscription. There is a YouTube Originals section, which is stuff that's only available on YouTube, but I must admit it's all a bit millennial for me. Justin Bieber, Seasons. What else have we got? It's lots of music. So it's very, very young looking at it. So I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Do you watch that stuff, Anthony? You got your subscription, you got access to it. Do you watch it? All of it looks incredibly young to me. So I haven't watched any of that. But there are series and like documentary style stuff that's on there. And I do appreciate the ability to be able to watch it without adverts. And I know that sounds very two-faced of me, doesn't it? Seeing as though sometimes I put out my content and I monetize it. But otherwise, how do I buy the stuff to do the videos in the first place? There are a couple of other things that they do in terms of monetizing, which is very strange. Has anybody used Super Chat? I've seen it on channels, but for the life of me, I'm like, I'm not seeing how this is working. But you can buy, apparently, the ability for your chat comments to be like featured. That's one thing they do. And the other thing is merchandise. Merch. We definitely need those T-shirts, don't we? Mac Bites and so does Elaine. We've been threatening it for long enough. I think I need to do it. So most of what you watch is content like mine, technology and travel logs. With mine, I like some of the true crime stuff. I think that's really good. That goes back to before I did my law degree and I thought crime was where it was at. And then I studied criminal law and it was direly boring. It really was. I love the contract stuff and the admin law. That just thrilled me. It fascinated me. But when I was younger, you know, crime, when you think of doing law, all you think of is crime. And some of those are very, very good. But also the documentaries, like aircraft stuff as well, things like that. But YouTube has actually become like a TV channel to me, which I never, ever saw coming. And certainly not the music aspect. At the moment, during lockdown, there's quite a few channels that are putting out stuff like recordings from theatres. Now, I love going to the theatre. Oh, I could live in London just for the theatres. Up here, we're not totally bereft of theatres, but they can be quite awkward to get to in terms of there's nowhere to park, or you've got to go in on the tram and walk, or you've got to get a taxi. So the one we go to a lot is Bolton. There's a car park right next door. It's fabulous. Love that theatre. You get to meet the cast and all kinds of stuff. But I remember reading about, they were going to put some recordings, I think it was the Lloyd Webber thing, some recordings from theatres. So I've been keeping my eye on them. And there's been some great music stuff on there. Fantastic. Cats was on the other week. I think they did Phantom of the Opera. They've been brilliant. But this week I was thrilled. I was so thrilled. Because many years ago, we went to the Octagon in 2007. And it was to watch a favourite actor of mine in this play. 2 years later, he came back. So this was 2009 by this stage. And I was speaking to his agent and it was a couple of plays I hadn't heard of at the time. So she said the names of the plays. And I said, like, is that one? She said, no, that's two. So I went to these plays. And at the time, I don't know if you've heard of a director. His name's escaping me now. David Thacker. He'd done a lot of TV work and he'd just taken over as the artistic director. So I was going to all of these events and all kinds of stuff. And we got to know each other, got to know my favourite actor as a friend. And that was like the whole of the autumn of 2009. Scary to think it's 11 years ago. Well, the first play that was on was an Arthur Miller play called All My Sons, and it was fabulous. It was the most amazing play. And we got talking to the director during the break, and he said, can you tell whose debut it is today? And I said, no, not a clue. They are all amazing. And he said, it's her professional debut. You know, she's very nervous. And her name was Vanessa Kirby. She is the lady who played Princess Margaret in The Crown for the first couple of series. So we got talking to her as well. And we got on really well. So she must have been there by that stage, probably about 12 weeks. And after every time we saw a play, you know, we'd meet up and we'd have a chat. She then stayed on, and she did this instead of going to drama school. She did the first bit of drama school, and then she dropped out of drama school because she got a job. And she came back and she did Midsummer Night's Dream, and we met up after that as well. Anyway, she was so good, and we knew she was going to be fantastic. She really was fantastic then, and I think she was only about 21, something like that. But she went down to London and she appeared at the Young Vic, which is the National Theatre in London. And I wanted to go, and it was like I'd got loads of other work on and I couldn't go. But she got fantastic reviews, and I think she was even up for a Laurence Olivier Award for her performance in A Streetcar Named Desire. So I logged into YouTube the other day, and on this, you watch this, you might like this bit, was all this week's plays that they're putting on for free. And her version of A Streetcar Named Desire is on this week for free. Oh, I'm so excited. And luckily they had her front and centre on the poster, and I'm like, got to watch that. The thing's nearly 3 hours, but it's already had 765,000 views, which is amazing. A lot of people are watching it because Gillian Anderson's with it. In it, she's playing Blanche, and it doesn't mention Vanessa in the title, but I instantly knew that face. So there really are amazing things on there that I always wonder how they decide what to put in front of you and say, you know, you might like this. And I know a lot of it goes from what you've actually watched. But I'm thinking there's probably loads of stuff there I would absolutely love. So I need to be searching for it and things. I also get really weird, skewed results when I'm looking for like a music thing that I can't find anywhere. And then I start getting, you listen to this 1930s song. Would you like to listen to this one? And I'm like, no, please don't do that. So Anthony says, Legal Eagle is a good channel for its lore. It's American, quite interesting. Rates the court cases, movies for realism. Did a video on what laws Willy Wonka was breaking. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. There are some really, really good things on there. There really are. And now when you think of the effort that these creators put into it, I marvel at some of the crime ones. It always seems to be, and I actually read an article about this. Let me... true crime article. I'll dig the true crime article out that I read, because I'd already noticed this and thought, how has that happened? But there's a lady called Stephanie Harlow, and she's got a channel about true crime. These videos are hours long. I mean, literally, she can have a video that's like an hour 55 or 2 hours 10. And you think, there's no way anybody's going to sit there and just watch a video that is 95% talking head about a crime. But she makes it so amazingly interesting that you do. And her makeup is absolutely amazing. So I'm looking at this channel and I'm thinking, it looks like a makeup channel. It looks like a lifestyle, you know, makeup, hair, clothes. Absolutely not the kind of channel I would look at. That's what this channel looks like. But I'm thinking, how can it be? Because, you know, it's got crime videos on it. So why does it look like that? But it turns out she started out doing lifestyle and makeup videos. Not obviously as many people watching that as watching true crime. So she switched to true crime, which would be fine if she was the only one. But since then, you know, since because I watched one video, I'm now being bombarded with other videos about true crime. Every single one of them is a young, pretty lady made up to the nines who used to do lifestyle and makeup, and they have all moved to true crime. It's actually quite spooky because I'm not really invested in any particular one of them. I might watch that video, or I might watch 5 minutes of that one. They all kind of merge into one. You know, pretty girl sat there talking about crime, odd picture of the crime, and that's it. It's amazing how it a channel morphs from one thing into another. Mine started off as tutorials, and guess what? It's still tutorials. Not going into true crime. But they've obviously got thousands and thousands of subscribers. That's obviously where it's at. But yeah, YouTube's a really good source for pretty much everything. The music is great. The app on your phone, you can choose whether you have videos with the music songs that you choose, or whether you just have it playing pretty much like Spotify. So actually, if you wanted some kind of music, the majority of what you'd probably want is on YouTube. You could actually go that way rather than the Spotify way. What I will say about Spotify is, obviously, it plays on the Echo devices and it plays everywhere, and you can have multi-speakers and all kinds of stuff. But if music is only like your secondary thing and you only want to play a few tracks, then absolutely you could do it another way. But like Anthony, who said, can't be doing the adverts, on the odd occasion that I go to YouTube and either I'm in a browser where I've never logged in or I've been logged out, it's been absolutely comical. I'm like, there's an advert in my video. It's like there's a fly in my soup. Where's this advert? Oh, I'm not logged in. I'm actually incredibly shocked when I see what YouTube looks like without a premium subscription. Because when I took my premium subscription, it's probably about 2 years ago, there weren't adverts at the top of the pages. And when I logged in, well, when I opened up YouTube the other day and I wasn't logged in, I thought, what's that? And it was this huge banner ad at the top. And I don't see those anymore. But I remember saying to Mike, I'm going to pay YouTube. And he looked at me like I was insane. But luckily, just the videos that I've got up there, I think there's about 80, 81. And not all of those are monetized. Probably about, I mean, obviously, there's a lot more than 81. The 81 are the public ones. If it's unlisted, they don't count that. And I haven't monetized it if it's unlisted. But of the 80 that are up there, probably about 70 are monetized. So I said to him, well, look, I make more from YouTube in a month than I'm paying them. So as far as I'm concerned, it's like a little bit of a tax. So I don't see the adverts, but I don't pay for it. I put content up and that pays for it. But yeah, I don't like it when I'm logged out. Anthony's totally right. It's I won't say it's unwatchable. It's not. But when you're in a hurry and you're watching a video because you're trying to check out a technique or a feature and you're like, I can't remember how I did that. Sometimes it's even my own videos I'm watching. That's happened before. That's happened to Mike. He'll say, I need to just brush up on X, and then he'll do a search and he'll say, oh, that's my video. You're not supposed to watch your own videos to monetize it, obviously, but you know, sometimes you are. You're watching your own videos and it stops while you wait for an advert. But I think it's a nice system. I don't think I'd use the music side of YouTube much at all. But for the fact that the app on the phone works a little bit like Spotify. So do you listen to the music as well, Anthony, or is it just the video content you want? I think it's definitely worth it, even just for the video content. But the fact that you get the music side for free is a very, very nice add-on. And if the adverts get much worse, let's have a look at my revenue share and see where we're at with it. Where's YouTube Studio? I will tell you what percentage comes from YouTube Red, which is what they still call it in the back end. Right, analytics, 30 days. My check arrived today, so it should all have reset itself. Right, let's have a look. Revenue by type. Are you going to bother telling me that? Oh, we have had movement, actually. I meant to share this with you on the statistics for audience. Yes, I was at 92% men and 8% women. And I am now, this must be Kim, must be Kim. It's now male, 86% and 14% female. We have had movement on that. Right, where's the revenue by type? Show me my revenue by type. Revenue sources. It is 16 to 1. So for every $16 that comes from ad revenue, there is $1 coming from YouTube Premium. That must be you, Anthony. Mind you, I see some of my own as well, don't I? Mike's not done it yet. But yeah, so it We could probably, I'm seeing that originally it was literally tiny amounts, so it was hardly worth worrying about. But that's creeping up. So maybe more people are taking out YouTube. They don't actually push it too much, I don't think. But then I noticed when I wasn't logged in, it did come up and it say, you know, why don't you take a trial of premium? So maybe they are pushing it a little bit more. So Anthony's the same. It's when they started putting adverts in the middle of videos made you subscribe. Now, have you produced any videos, Anthony? Because as a provider of videos, when you go into your monetization options for a particular video, you do get to say where those ads are. So some people actually make them unskippable in the middle, or the beginning or the end, or you might have to watch a video, an advert at the beginning. I just leave it be, you know, just sort it out, basically. They're also rolling out this self-certification thing, which is important. Self-certification on adverts means when you upload a video, you get the option to make it public straight away. So if I'd done a tutorial or a live stream, the live stream will then go private when I've finished. If I want to make that available, but I want to monetize it, which I did do with the Affinity Publisher one, then I have to go in and request that it's monetized. If you put in a request for monetization, somebody's got to view it and make sure that it's appropriate and what audience, what advertisers would be appropriate to put on your thing. So they are very careful with their advertisers. They match up the adverts with the content. So what you'll find on my videos tends to be like, maybe there'll be an advert for Monday.com, something like that. It'll be tech related. But the advertisers are demanding more control over what kind of videos they go on. That's causing problems for YouTube because there's something like 3,000 hours of video uploaded every minute. They can't keep up with checking what the content is. The problem for creators like me then with that is I either publish the video and it's not monetized until they get round to it, in which case a new video is going to get more views in the first month than the second or third. So your second option is to upload it, request a monetization review, and then not publish the video. And you would not know when you are going to be able to publish the video because you won't know when your monetization thing will come through. Ooh. Oh, they demonetize small channels. That's not good. Let's have a look. I will put that in. I know a friend of mine had problems with that. Hers was monetized. She was doing InDesign tutorials and they were very good. And it was something to do. I don't think she had the number of subscribers that you would need. And she didn't have the number of videos that she needed either. And they just unceremoniously got demonetized. But that's such a shame, isn't it? There should be like a charity thing where you don't need the same level. But what they've done in terms of certification and monetization with it now, you have to go through some hoops, which, well, you have to have been through these hoops, let's call it that, but you don't actually need to do anything with it. In terms of, they'll check strikes against you, they'll check copyright claims, they do that anyway. As long as everything is in order, then they are rolling out a system called self-certification. And I get a message that says, congratulations, your self-certification ratings are accurate. You get faster monetization decisions. So basically, I fill in a form and then sign the form digitally to say there's no bad language, you know, no profanity, etc., etc. No, it's not made for children. There's nothing dodgy in it, basically. And this is what the content's like. And then they monetize it straight away. Obviously, if you try cheating the system, then you won't be able to self-certify anymore. But at the moment, you can self-certify with it. But yeah, I thought when they did that, Anthony, I could understand it in terms of not even new channels, because a new channel's got to start out, for crying out loud. I could understand it that it was going to take out of the monetization system quite a lot of channels that weren't growing. But who puts a channel up and doesn't have any intention to grow it if they're monetizing because they want to generate some revenue? And it can be quite off-putting when you see it's something like 1,500 minutes of views a month, I think. Now, just for an idea, where's my views per month? Analytics, where are we at? Which one would that be in? Would it be in audience? What I'm looking for is the one that will tell you how many minutes you have in a month. Maybe that should be the overview. Right, yeah, you need, I think it's 1,500 minutes watched. Or is it hours? 1.5k. I think it's 1.5k hours. So maybe 1,500 hours. Just for reference, mine's got 7,000 hours per month. So it's quite a lot. You need a lot of videos. And then, of course, you need your 1,000 subscribers as well. And 1,000 subscribers is asking a lot when you're starting out. Because it's to get subscribers, you need the content featured. And if they're not featuring the content because it's not monetized and that doesn't generate money for YouTube, how are you supposed to do that? That's the problem Mike had, because he had two channels. One was monetized. In fact, they were both monetized. But the second channel was the same as Anthony's, whereas it was a new channel. And he got just this mail that said demonetized. And it was because there was less than 1,500 hours watched per month and less than 1,000 subscribers. I'm convinced you could do something with that, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, this girl never did make it. And her tutorials are very, very good. Let's have a look. Because I said, you know, let's all subscribe to each other, basically. That's all you could do. What was her name? InDesign videos. There we go. Let's have a look. Some of these videos of hers have got quite a lot of hits. And like I say, she's very good at what she does. But in terms of the channel, let's click through to the channel. She's actually made it now. She's got 1,800 subscribers. But I don't know if she's getting the 1,500 minutes a month. Let's have a look when the last video went up. I think she gave up. I think she gave up because the last video she put was 3 years ago, which was the problem. She was putting a video up every week. You know, and some of these videos have had 10,000 hits, 29,000, 9,500. Okay, others have only got like 600. But if she'd have been able to monetize it from day one, she could have just carried on with it. But she didn't. She gave up. Which I think they need to give you a little bit of breathing space where they could just say, these are the rules. You don't meet the criteria at the moment, but let's give it 2 months and see where you go. But they don't. They're just unceremonious. It could happen to anybody. If your content is on what we call shifting sands, it's up to them. If they suddenly decided they weren't monetizing unless you had 100,000 subscribers, then I'm gone. So I understand it. I think they could be a little bit more helpful, but it's their playground and you've just got to play by their rules. So it's really unfortunate, isn't it, Anthony? Do you put videos up anymore or did you kind of just not worth it then? I wonder if the guide dogs put stuff up. I would expect they do. They do, but even they've only got 6,000 subscribers. They do. There they are. Ah, that'll be the guide dogs in the States, won't it? That's not the right logo. Hang on. Guide dogs UK. Totally different. Totally different. Or are they? Oh, no. Guide dogs UK. There we go. Yep, they've got some stuff up a week ago, but they're only getting sort of 250 views. So they're going to have exactly the same story. And these are really lovely videos about, you know, a child who's lost their sight meeting videos, their dogs for the first time, or doing gymnastics like this one. So, you know, you'd watch it, wouldn't you? You would. You'd watch it. Maybe they're putting them out and pulling them through to their own homepage, maybe. Maybe they're doing it that way. It is a lot of work to create videos. I totally agree with you. He wasn't doing it for the money, it's a motivation factor. That's the thing, I agree with you. I think I went through a stage when they changed some rules and I thought, oh, I can't be doing with this. You know, you are working hard to put these things out and you didn't feel like it was appreciated. Not by the audience, but by YouTube. They were tweaking rules ever so slightly. And obviously it's always in their favour or their advertiser's favour. And I understand that because, you know, they're the ones paying you. But if you don't look after the creators as well, what I will say is over the last 2 years, they've put together a creators channel thing. And that is actually really useful. But the community aspect of it, they always seem to be the same. The creators creating the same kind of content congregate together. And with tutorials and stuff, they don't really congregate like that. It's more of the lifestyle stuff where they congregate. But yeah, I go hot and cold with YouTube. Obviously, we use it every week for After Hours, but like I say, we don't monetize that. Maybe we should. I don't know. We just, traditionally, we haven't. But we could. We just go through and make them all monetized. They are all in a playlist, but they're not even public either, because I think they're so quirky, they work best live. Obviously, you've got people like Helen, who's trying to catch up on a Saturday morning, which is so annoying when they decide on a Saturday that that's when they're dealing with their maintenance and they take the chat away because then Helen can't see the chat. And you've got that problem. And that's when Mike's trying to extract the chat and then he can't get to the chat. No one can get to the chat on a Saturday because YouTube don't like it. It's the pain. Yeah, you could make those kind of videos public. I tend not to. Just for the fact you get some real snottergrams about, have you any idea how long this video is? I can't possibly spend all that time watching your video. And I'm like, well, don't then. There's a link underneath. You can click through to just the bit you want. It's clickable. Click it. You know, but they instead of, you know, they're telling you they've not got time to waste watching your video. And then they waste like half an hour writing to you to tell you that they've got no time to watch your video. And guess what? I've got no time to listen to your diatribe. But that's what people do. So I haven't done that with that. But I do need to put some videos up that are shorter tutorials, because I've had loads of people come to me with, oh, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do that? Yes, I can put it in After Hours. But, you know, even if I put a link under it, it's like, I'm not watching that because it's too long. Don't understand people. I have to do the snottergrams in a very high-pitched and insignificant whingy voice. OK, Simon, I'm going to work on that whingy voice. I did see a classic today. It wasn't a snottergram to me, but it was absolutely hysterical. So much so, I said to Mike, I'm going to have to interrupt you to read you this because this is fabulous. Let me get hold of it. I think I had it open in a browser. And I had it open in a browser. TechSmith. It was on the TechSmith forum. And it was about, oh, good grief, I've got stuff jumping all over. It was about microphones. Right. So this and I'm Simon, I'm going to need to practice the high pitch whine. I'm just going to read it to you because it's so funny. Now, you've all seen Camtasia. You all know it's what Camtasia and ScreenFlow, the most expensive, the most feature rich. They're not. One's better at one thing, one's better at another. Right. But generally speaking, I would say between them, the two of those are the two that are the best. They have the most features. So this person's bought this, right? Can you use an external microphone with the Mac version of Camtasia? There appears to be no way to do this. That's the title. Then he starts. Why are there zero settings in Camtasia for this much needed feature? Programs should be able to use an external microphone. Camtasia is supposed to be one of the best applications on the market, yet it forces people to use the internal microphone. Frankly, that's unthinkable. Also, where are the help articles about this much-needed feature? Why aren't these details front and centre? Is it even possible to use an external microphone? My Mac recognises my external microphone everywhere. I see it in the sound system preferences of my Mac and it works great everywhere, but it doesn't work with Camtasia. I can't even see a list of choices. Nothing. Camtasia simply uses the internal mic and laughs at the user because it doesn't do a darn thing to let you change this option. Why? And that's in capitals. Without this feature, using Camtasia is a no-go. Capitals again. I'm ready to toss the entire app in the garbage. Where can you choose an external microphone? I've looked under every menu, every screen. It's nowhere. Where are the no help articles anywhere? Why hide it? Why make it hard for a person first using this application to do the first thing that they'll try to do? Tell the software developers to address this immediately. It's such a poor look for TechSmith and the Camtasia team. I am rolling along the floor. And I said to Mike, you know, excuse me. Hello, I'm a new user. I'm sure you can do this, but I can't find a way to use anything other than the external microphone. Can you help me, please? There you go. Rewritten for you. The feature is in the recorder. And in the recorder, which is the small window with the four panels in it, where you choose everything. You choose your webcam, you choose the screen you're recording, you choose whether you want system audio or not, and you choose your microphone. It's as simple as that. Why didn't you read the manual? Just saying, because that's the first thing they tell you. But it's the way it's written. It's just so rude. And that's what you get on YouTube. Snottergrams. But I've got to practice my whiny, whingy voice. So I will do that. And then I'll read you out some of them because they are just so funny. So, so funny. It took you a while to realise you could watch them by going to the playlist. I guess we could make that a little bit more obvious, couldn't we, Anthony? They are all available from MacBytes. If you go to After Hours, each After Hours has its own homepage and the video is in there. The other way to watch it is to get the playlist. But we don't make them public for that reason, because it's a very specialist thing. It works live. It works great live. And we have a great time. Some people have even written to say, I wasn't available to be there live. It's not fair. And I'm like, what isn't fair as I'm reading it? That I'm interacting with the audience who were there. I shouldn't do that because he wasn't there. Not kidding. I got that. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Ignore the live audience because you're not there? Seriously, that's the kind of stuff you get. Kim's made a playlist in Spotify. Yay! I could show you my Spotify in After Hours if you like, because I had a complete revamp today. It is completely different. I have reorganised it completely. And it's way better for it. I'd let my playlist run away with me, because I would make a playlist for an album, because I'm an album kind of girl from years ago. But there's no need to do that if you think about it. Really, a playlist can be like your favourite stuff. And I'm more old school, not a millennial. So I need to think about that. But what I'd done was I'd created a playlist for some of the music specials that I do. And it's nice to be able to refer back to them. But they needed some kind of organisation. So that's what I did with it. So Anthony's used his Rode Podcaster. You can use any microphone, can't you? It's absolutely fine. Kim liked that one. Some people need to get over themselves. The snottergrams show the self-absorption. You're not kidding. I wouldn't be rude enough. I wouldn't show myself up by sending it. Even if I was upset over something or aggrieved over something, I really would not do that. I must admit, I watched a video the other day and I felt as I was watching it that it was very clickbaity, that the title didn't really match up with the content. And the content was saying one thing and then completely saying the opposite 30 seconds later. And it was one of the, I mean, quality wise, the video was perfect, you know, 4K, all the rest of it. It was great to look at. And it was a technical review type thing, but he was just contradicting himself the whole time. I think it was the nearest I've ever come to putting a dislike on a video. But I'm like, no, just walk away. And I looked at the comments underneath and people were saying exactly the same. They felt shortchanged by the title of it. And that then he was saying yes and then no and then yes and then no. And it was as though he was trying not to upset anybody. So it was, well, the iPad's very, very good, but so is the Surface. Surface is very, very good. But when he's talking about the iPad, he says Surface is rubbish, isn't it? When he goes on to talk about the Surface, he says, yeah, the iPad's rubbish, isn't it? Surface is great. And people had called him out on it. But I just walk away from those kind of videos. But to take the time to write, to say you've been shortchanged because you couldn't bother watching it at the time it was on. He's like, really? Yes, apparently so. They have actually, just before I go, I'll let you know that in the analytics of YouTube, there's a new one appeared this week. And it is actually quite fascinating. Because I would ask you guys, I wouldn't just assume. But if I go into my, there's two aspects to YouTube. There's the front end of it. And then there's something called YouTube Studio. And YouTube Studio is where you create your content. I could show you this if you like, in terms of creating a new episode of the show and how to upload it, etc. But in the back end, there's this bit where you click on analytics. And the analytics usually has this like, what's that? It's a line chart thing showing you views and revenue and all the rest of that. But I noticed when I went into Audience, that also had that kind of diagram, and it's still there. So it's basically a line thing saying how many unique views, how many views per user, and how many subscribers you've got. And then it tells you, and that subscribers is your average subscribers this month. So it takes into account unsubscribes and subscribes, and then it compares that with last month and gives you a percentage. Underneath, there's a shiny new map. It says when your viewers are on YouTube. And when you look at it, it's like a heat map that Mike would do. It has Monday to Sunday across the top, midnight to midnight down the side, and it's in various shades of purple. And according to this, the longest time that people are online, and it's a four-hour block, is Tuesday at 3 o'clock UK time to 6 o'clock. So, in fact, no, 3 o'clock till 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, which is, hey, right now, when we started Marooned. And Sunday, 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. But Saturday, 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock. Which is quite amazing, because obviously we go live on a Friday night at 9 o'clock. And when I look at 9 o'clock, that's only like half the audience. So there's only 50% of people available to watch it at Friday at 9 o'clock. And I'm looking at these figures and I'm thinking, I'm wondering how that's working, because I'm thinking, you know, if I do the time shuffle, that would mean that America is watching at 6 in the morning. I don't think so. And then I've got to figure in the Australian bit. But it's interesting that they reckon a good time for me to put content out is 3 o'clock on a Saturday or 3 o'clock on a Sunday. What do you guys think about that? Have a think about it and let me know, because that seems a really odd time to go live to me. 3 o'clock here would be basically the middle of the night in Australia. I mean, it's bad enough we go live at like 8 and 9 at night for the Australian folk. That seems a really odd time to me, but that's when it says my people are on there. And I also did an age thing as well, and Jonathan's going to love this. I'll have to share this again tomorrow, remind me. My main audience, 33% of my audience are 25 to 34. My audience are millennials. Who knew? I was going to have to tell Jonathan that one. Remind me to tell Jonathan that one. Kim likes the time we go now. It kind of works for us. We kind of got into a groove with that. And everybody seems to like the fact that Marooned is the same time every day. And we are able to do Fridays in lockdown. So after hours, it's the same time every day. If we could just get round to 127, don't tell Jonathan, and being the same time every week. Whoa! We'd cracked it then, wouldn't we? Must get on to that. But we are in the middle of our holiday, so anything could happen. You never know. It has been lovely to talk to you. I am glad you have all been here to share. We will, of course, be back same time, same place tomorrow. Do get in touch. Tell me all about your music stuff. Let me know. And I'm also about 3 or 4 episodes behind of getting Marooned into the feed, which I intend to fix tonight. So that's my job tonight. As soon as I've finished, I am Maroon editing. It doesn't actually take much editing, but you know, you need to do it, and you need to go into the feeder application and get it all uploaded. So that is what I am going to do tonight. Let me know what you are doing tonight. And then I will say goodnight. Mike's still next door in his meeting, so I'll leave him to it. He's flattening his hair down. Everyone tells him he looks like a mad scientist, but don't tell him I told you that. Didn't hear that from me. You worked it all out yourself, didn't you? So what are we doing tomorrow? I do believe Mike has a course to do tomorrow. And I'm doing my edits, and then I'll see what I can do, and I'll share it with you tomorrow. Kim's off to try it, Spotify on an Echo. Excellent. Is it a trial account you've got? A free account? If it is, I can't remember if you need the paid for one. But you'll find that in the help section. It's so long ago since I had a trial account, I literally cannot remember. But with a paid account, absolutely, it works brilliantly. It works fabulously. Even to the point, I've got 2 Echoes. Now, when the Echoes come on sale, if you were to buy, I mean, I wouldn't suggest you do this until they are on sale, but they're usually on sale quite frequently. They're on sale in the UK this week, but your mileage may differ. If you've got 2 Echoes that are the same in terms of model, so you couldn't take a show and put it with an Echo Dot, But if you've got two of the, that are the same, so hence waiting until they're on sale, if you buy two speakers that are the same, you compare them up and put them at one end of the room and the other end of the room, and it will do the kind of, you know, quadraphonic echoey thing between them. It works brilliantly. I inadvertently did that. When I got my first ones, I got a black one and a white one. And I've since put them, we have the white one in the extension, but I've got this black one in the extension. And I've put it behind the sofa, but the two of them are linked, so they're basically treated as one speaker, and that works with Spotify too. So it is brilliant. Let me know if the free account works. Come back and tell us tomorrow, Kim, and share what music you played. There you go. And I'll share some of my playlists. Can't say fairer than that. But for now, I shall say good night from me, good night from Mike, and we will both see you next time.